Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, week nine. We got a bunch of games we got to talk about. You ready to go?
Shout out Chad Breezy, first in the chat.
That's right. That's right. We've got a race to be first in the chat here now. Yep. Yeah, Mike, we're doing a live week nine preview. It is 10:40 p.m. on the East Coast on Wednesday night. So it's basically the weekend. You and I are both playing golf tomorrow. So again,
we are
weekend. It is. Appreciate the folks joining us in the chat. You know, they are here at youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast. They probably knew we were going live because they hit the subscribe button. They hit the bell icon. So you should do that too. So you can come join us, be notified when we have new videos that come out, be notified so you can come join in on the comments and in the chat. We've been doing Saturday Night Fever every Saturday night for most of the season. Been a lot of fun. Great way to recap the day that was in the ACC. So again, hit the subscribe button and hit the bell icon for us on YouTube at youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast, or subscribe, you know, wherever you get your audio podcasts, anywhere like that works as well. Mike, we got eight games this week. The first one is actually a weeknight game. Imagine that. We haven't had one of those, I think, in a couple of weeks now.
We have not.
So we will start there. As I will work to do this thing. All right, here we go. On Thursday at 7:30 on ESPN, the Syracuse Orange on the road in Blacksburg, taking on your Virginia Tech Hokies. Hokies a 3-point home favorite. Total is 47. I'd have to imagine the environment in Lane Stadium would be pretty, pretty good for a Thursday night game here against a conference opponent and, you know, with a Virginia Tech team that's been playing better as of late.
Can we call Virginia Tech surging? I think that's probably unfair. Trending. How about trending?
Yeah, I'll go trending. That works.
Trending? Okay. Yeah. Syracuse is 0-3 in conference play, Joey.
Is there what was that?
A rough patch of my life right now, all right? Syracuse is 0-3.
We haven't broken that one out in a while. Because Syracuse has been good the last few years.
I know, yeah. It's been a while.
Been kind of sitting on that sound. Syracuse is winless in conference play. Now, granted, their three conference opponents have been Clemson, North Carolina, and Florida State. So that's not ideal, Joey.
Well, and I mean, that's the three conference opponents that they played. The four out-of-conference opponents they played, Colgate, Western Michigan, at Purdue, and Army. I feel like of all the teams in this conference, this is probably the one that we're like, it's Halloween weekend, Mike, and I still feel like I don't know very much about where Syracuse stands or doesn't. Like,
yeah.
This is the team that I'm like, in this game in particular, I'm like, I don't know how to diagnose what Syracuse is or isn't right now. Like, they just had their nasty three-game gauntlet stretch that we knew that they were going to have. They get a bye week to kind of try to heal up. But how do I handicap what this team is or isn't against Virginia Tech? I am not really sure what to do here.
Well, it's kind of tough too, right? So Virginia Tech played Purdue in week two of the season. Syracuse actually played Purdue in week three. Purdue, of course, beat Virginia Tech in that weird weekend when like every ACC game was delayed. Purdue beat Virginia Tech in Blacksburg.
Syracuse started at noon and finished at 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a casual like 8 or 9 hour game. The following weekend, Syracuse traveled on the road to West Lafayette and beat Purdue by 15. So there's a shared opponent there, right? But then Virginia Tech has also played Florida State. That's a shared opponent, right? Virginia Tech played Florida State a lot better than Syracuse did, right? So Syracuse played Florida State right before their bye week. Syracuse is coming off a bye. Their last game was against Florida State. They lost 41-3. They were not competitive in that game. Virginia Tech also lost by a ton in Tallahassee, but the Hokies were a lot more competitive. It was at one point a 5-point game in Tallahassee in the third quarter. So the Hokies showed a little bit more fight in that game than Syracuse did. I look at this, right? And everything is telling me to pick Virginia Tech. Hokies are trending in a really good direction. The bye week, I think, for Virginia Tech almost came at a bad time. Some people would argue the opposite. Virginia Tech was getting healthy. I think in that sense, the bye came at a good time because guys are continuing to get healthy. They're getting guys back in the secondary. They're getting healthier up front on the defensive line. Guys, they're getting depth pieces back on the defense, which I think is really important. Syracuse actually needed the bye week even more, right? Syracuse really banged up on front, up front on both sides of the ball. Syracuse losing three straight games, not really looking competitive in any of them. The Clemson game, I guess, is the one they looked most competitive in, but you and I watched that game. That was never really close after after the first quarter, never really close. So Syracuse was playing really poor football entering the bye week, granted against the three toughest teams on their schedule. Going to Blacksburg now, really tough environment against a Virginia Tech team that is finding an identity offensively. Kyron Drones has been really good the last few weeks. Feels like the Hokies offense now looks a lot more comfortable. Play calling, guys more comfortable in their roles. Drones looks a whole lot more comfortable. Defensively, Virginia Tech, I know they gave up 200 yards to Trey Benson at Florida State, but there were some signs in that Florida State game that they were starting to figure things out a little bit, then had two really good outings sandwiched around that game, right, against Pittsburgh and Wake Forest. So things have been trending in a really good direction for Virginia Tech, and everything is pointing to picking the Hokies here. This is kind of the type of game that maybe Syracuse will sneak up on you, right? Syracuse has gone into Blacksburg before, and they've won games like this where you're like, I'm not really sure what Syracuse is, and they go in, they play well. I think Dino will have the Syracuse offense ready to play. I think Syracuse will go in and be competitive here. I think I'm going to take Syracuse to cover the 3, but Virginia Tech to win in a very, very tight game in Blacksburg. I do think Syracuse is going to be competitive here.
Trying to thread a needle with this pick here.
A little bit.
28-27.
I think I said on my tech pod I recorded last night, I think I said 24-21, I think is what I said, which would be a push, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Somewhere in that neighborhood. I'll say officially like 24-23. There you go.
There you go. There it is. I'm kind of with you. I want to take Virginia Tech here. I'm spooked because SP Plus is telling me that Syracuse should be favored.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN's FPI gives Syracuse a 61% chance of winning this game. So it's like, what are they seeing that I'm not? And I wonder if some of it might be recency bias of, in a backwards way of like, they're judging both of these teams by the season as a whole, as opposed to how they're trending, you know, week over week. Like, mm-hmm. we feel like Syracuse has been getting worse, feel like Virginia Tech's been getting better. And you know, obviously there's reasons behind all of that. I think I'm with you. I think I'm just going to take Syracuse in the points. I don't feel good about it. There's a lot of me that feels like I should be taking Virginia Tech here, but then some of me just wondering, like, is it a trap? Mm-hmm. And especially you not being like gung-ho taking the Hokies here is like definitely a red flag to me of like, maybe I consider just take the points and,
gut see thing. What happens. It's a gut thing. Also, like, I think we're going to find out too, because Syracuse didn't play anybody in the non-con. And then Virginia Tech has played well against the bad opponents in conference play. And it's like, oh yeah, Syracuse is coming and trending in a bad direction. They've been getting blown out against, you know, the toughest teams on their schedule. It's like, okay. Virginia Tech hasn't played anybody. I mean, they share the Florida State, like, common opponent. But outside of that, like, Virginia Tech hasn't played anybody in the ACC. Wake and Pitt are terrible. Like, mm-hmm. they haven't played anybody. So it's easy to be like, oh, I'm out on Syracuse. But also, like, Syracuse hasn't really had a break since September in terms of, like, the teams they're playing. I don't know.
Is Purdue probably the fairest fight that Syracuse has been in all year?
Probably. And at the same time, like, I think it's easy to look at, you know, Virginia Tech and Syracuse playing Purdue in back-to-back weeks and being like, oh, they share an opponent. Syracuse looks a lot better. But Virginia Tech's a totally different team now, offensively.
Yeah. Yep.
Grant Wells started in that game, and he was really hurt. He was playing hurt in the second half, could not run. Tech's running, like, read option with him. And, you know, the Purdue defense is just not respecting him as a runner because he couldn't move. And then Pride didn't pulled the trigger on Kyron Drones till last drive. It was just a poorly managed game in a weird spot. Tech's a totally different team now. I feel like Virginia Tech nearly won that game against Purdue with the hurt Grant Wells. I feel like if they played that game again tomorrow, I'd probably be taking the Hokies. So I really don't know what to do here. And the fact it's only a 3-point spread surprises me a little bit with how the teams have been trending. So that's why I'm leaning to take Syracuse. And again, incredible. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. Virginia Tech is doing all the right stuff. I feel like they are the better team coming into this game, but the line spooks me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Virginia Tech is going to have a good chance to make a bowl game, but I think this game and the NC State game in particular are pretty big swing games. And now with the way Boston College is playing, potentially that one too, but this one in NC State at home in particular, like Tech's got to win both of them, I think, because Louisville going to Chestnut Hill, and then even if you beat Virginia, like you got to win two others. It's an important swing game, and I just feel like Virginia Tech's going to lose one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this one, right? Yep. Maybe it's this one. So I don't know. Syracuse plus three, maybe an under game. I don't know.
So Chad Bracey, he's got Virginia Tech. I hope I'm pronouncing this. Harryballs?
Shut up.
Syracuse, mark it down. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. There's no way you didn't put two and two together there for the family program. You know?
Our guy, Adam Parker, I will say this feels like an under game for sure. Again, the total's 47. I'm not convinced. I'd leave that total alone.
I don't know. I just said 24 to 23 would be a push. I said 24-21 on my Tech podcast, the Hokies win. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, could it be 17-14? Could it be 31-28? Yep. Like,
yeah. I don't want any part of this as a better.
Yep.
I don't want any part of this one.
Yep. So Syracuse to the both of us and nothing on the total.
Nothing on the total. I do think the Hokies win the game, but give me Syracuse in the points.
Yep. Mike, do you need something to wear to this game?
I know you're setting me up for a little home field apparel read, Joey, but I'm going to be at our good friend Colin's bachelor party. But not bachelor party. Colin. I'm sorry. Rehearsal dinner. We're going. That'd be news. That'd be news to his wife if we were doing
small but important party. Difference between a bachelor party and a rehearsal dinner, Mike.
Yeah. Well, let's see how the night goes.
If they are going to the game and they need something to wear,
homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code GOECC at checkout. 15% off your first order. They got awesome Virginia Tech stuff at home field.
Treadmill.
That's like right. Yeah, the horse on the treadmill. Yeah, that's the one. Several other vintage designs. Virginia Tech is one of several ACC schools. In fact, all the ACC schools, with the exception of Stanford, are part of home field's collection. Very comfortable clothing. We own home field apparel, you and I. High marks for both of us. And that's not just because they sponsor our podcast. We were customers before they were sponsors. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 15% off your first order with home field. And if you're going to the game, need tickets to the game, vividseats.com.
Mm-hmm.
Really important. Use the link in this video. Use the link posted to our Twitter account. Use the link in the show notes wherever you listen to your podcast. Click on that link. Use the promo code BCPOD20 at checkout. You get $20 off your first order, $200 or more. If you're going to a college football game this fall and the game is even has a chance to be competitive, you're going to be spending more than $200 on tickets. It's just the way it is in 2023. So you may as well just get $20 off your first order. Use promo code BCPOD20 at checkout.
Do that. Might as well get some money off if you're going to be going to one of these games, spending big bucks on some tickets. Might as well.
May as well, that's right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Mike, seven games on Saturday. Let's start with a noon slate on ABC as the number four Florida State Seminoles on the road in Winston-Salem, taking on the Wake Forest Steamin' Deacs.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, a 21.5-point road favorite. Total Man. Is 51.
Man.
As much as I would love to take Wake as a home dog here.
Dude.
But I don't know. No. I want to get in the way of that train.
No. this is like a sleepy noon spot. Florida State coming off of a big win against Duke, where, you know, I thought the Seminoles came out and took Duke seriously. Mentioned that on the recap. I thought Florida State played very well in that game. This is a game where it's easy to roll the helmets out and not really worry about Wake Forest. Here's the thing, though. Like, even if Florida State rolls the helmets out and doesn't play all that great, who is playing quarterback for Wake here?
Like, I was going to say, is this another Santino Marucci game?
Yeah, is this our favorite Italian? Is he under center again? Is it Michael Kern? Is it Mitch Griffiths? I don't know, man. I feel like Wake kind of lucked out. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter is another excellent point. Give me Florida State, man. I can't. Wake Forest has a bunch of quarterback issues. Their offense has been really, really bad. And this is a Florida State team that I think is just more talented across the board. And I think even if Florida State doesn't play all that well, I still think they can get to that number and cover.
Yeah, this is a bigger question to me of like, is Florida State engaged in this game?
Yeah.
How much of this are they checked in for versus, you know, do they check out in the second quarter and just sort of coast to the end? I'm with you. Give me Florida State. I'm going to lay the 21.5 there. I think they can put on a show without much of an issue. I don't think Wake Forest has the dudes on defense. You know, at least in the past few years, you know, they've often had, you know, at least one guy who's a really good pass rusher or, you know, someone who can kind of disrupt what the offense is doing. I don't think they got that guy this year. You know, for the most part.
Either.
So, it's a lot of points, but I'm going to take four.
Well, I think Joey closed his browser like he did the other night. He says a lot of points, but he's going to take Florida State. As far as the total's concerned, I think I'm going to go under 51 here because I don't think Florida State's going to be all that engaged. Did you close the browser window again?
No, I hit back on the browser window again.
Okay, that's fine.
Magic mouse from Apple.
I finished your sentence for you and said that it's a lot of points, but you're just going to hold your nose and lay them.
Yep.
I was getting into the total, and this is an under game for me, Joey, because I am going to bank on Florida State really not being all that engaged here. And I know for a fact that Wake Forest is not going to score a lot of points. So I think if you had to go one way or another, I think this is an under game. I don't think Florida State is going to just go out. Maybe they prove me completely wrong and Florida State looks engaged and they hang 51 themselves. But I would be surprised. I think this is going to be like 42-7 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would lean under here.
I think you're probably smarter than I am here. I'm going to take the over. And it's going to be the idea that I think Florida State, with the state of Wake Forest defense, I think Florida State might be able to get to about 40-plus points, even if they're not fully checked in for most of this game. I could see something like 42-17 or something like this. I think this can get over this total with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
Not highly. I'm definitely not locking anything up here because, yeah, all this is just a little bit too much to really bank on, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
We've been burned before laying huge numbers. So.
Yep. Sure have. Many, many a time if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time.
Yep.
Florida State for the both of us. I've got the over. You've got the under. Anything else here, Mike? You ready to move on?
Let's do it. Move on. We're good.
Also at noon on the ACC network, the Huskies of Connecticut and one Jim Mora Jr. on the road in Chestnut Hill, taking on the Boston College Eagles, Mike. Boston College, a 14-point home favorite, coming off a win over my Yellow Jackets. Total is 51.5. Mike, you said you were feeling pretty confident in this game.
Yeah, I'm locking up UConn.
Yeah. Oh, you are. You're locking up the Huskies?
Yeah, I'm locking up UConn. Stop it. Oh, you told me you had something teed up for me. What was that even from?
I forget if that was last year or the year before, but I don't remember. Was it like a Syracuse game or was it Boston College? I don't know what it was.
God. Adam Parker enjoyed that one. Oh, man. Well, is UConn a tougher test for Boston College than Georgia Tech was last week? Just kidding, Joey. Just kidding.
All right, I earned that with the sound effect.
I would have made that joke. I would have made that joke anyway, as you know. Give me BC here. Thomas Castellanos just going to be a little too much, I think. UConn's reeling, having serious offensive issues. Mm-hmm. Lost a couple of really key skill position players early in the year. This is tough. It's been tough sledding for UConn. Banged up at quarterback, banged up at receiver. Not good. I mean, this is not good for UConn. Yeah. I'm not totally sure why BC is only favored by 14. That's the only thing I will mention. As bad as Boston College, Boston College has been playing better lately, but as mediocre as they've been this year, you think they would be favored by a little bit more than 14, given how UConn has looked. So that's the only thing that gives me a little pause here, but would not shock me if UConn hung around for a little while here. But I do think BC pulls away. They're a much better team. I have no interest in the total.
Yeah, I don't think I do either.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'll lay in with Boston College. There are some out there that would say that BC stands for booty cheeks, but they ain't the booty cheeks in this game, Mike. They are. I think Boston College is standing tall, and I think UConn. Yeah, been a. You know, we saw UConn week one against NC State, and that was the game that was a little bit tougher for the Wolfpack than we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Thought UConn was maybe a little bit better than we thought they would be. But as you mentioned, I mean, they've had some key injuries since then. This is not the same team. I think Boston College should be able to win this pretty comfortably and kind of continue building some momentum. Mike, blind guess. UConn, more or less than a 14-point dog against the team that they play next week. Blind guess.
Because I have no idea who they play next week. I'll say more.
You're probably right. It's Tennessee in Knoxville.
Oh, God. Definitely more.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Milton might try to have like a Heisman moment or something. Throw for like 800 yards.
And the week after that, they're in Harrisonburg taking on James Madison and the Dukes.
Speaking of another blowout loss.
Mm-hmm. So have fun, Jim Mora. Boston College here, Liam. Again, 51.5, I can leave that alone. If anything, I might go under and think that this could be like 42-0 Boston College. Like just basically shut them out. And at what point does Boston College call off the dogs a little bit?
I agree.
I would not be betting the over here. Would not.
No, I'm just going to stay away from that. Yep. Boston College might stand for booty cheeks. The UConn players might be going to look for some after this game. Try to get the morale up a little bit.
That's right. Our friend Harry Balls.
Harry Balls. What are
you, UConn has quit on the season. BC
is that British?
Is it British? I was going to go like Swedish or something like that. I don't know what they do about grooming over there, but anyways.
You're merely a muggle, Harry. Oh.
All right, Mike. All right, BC, and that's it for us on that game. Let's move on, Mike, to 2:00 on the CW.
Dabo doesn't know where the CW is, by the way, per his press conference. He said, I don't even know where to find that on our TV. And you know what? Dabo and I are very relatable.
I'm waiting for something about Dabo to surprise me these days. Like, just nothing comes as a shock. Mike, Clemson's on the road in Raleigh, taking on the NC State Wolfpack. Clemson's a 10-point road favorite. Over-under is 44. Our guy Lee Nobody, by the way, on Twitter, sent us a couple of stats this week. What was it that he was saying about? It was like we've played 7 games on the CW so far. Underdogs are, I think, 7-0 straight up, or 7-0 against the line, and like 5-2 straight up, or something like that. Like, it's something obscene. Hold on, I'll find it here. I'm very well prepared.
Who was it in the chat? Maybe somebody, Adam, maybe you'll remember. Somebody was like, let's keep Florida State off the CW. during the live recap the other night.
Yeah.
I don't remember who that was.
To protect them.
Yeah. I don't think Adam's the one who said it, but I know Adam was in the chat. So somebody was like, yeah, Florida, let's keep Florida State off the CW. And we were like, yeah, sure.
That's right. Underdogs 7-0 against the spread, 5 of 7 winning outright on the CW so far this year.
That would be quite the man. If NC State wins this game outright, Clemson is barely going to make a bowl game. In fact, Clemson loses this game. They still have Notre Dame, North Carolina, and South Carolina on the schedule. South Carolina is not very good, but if Clemson loses this game, I think we can deduce that they're not very good either. So, and we don't think Clemson's very good anyway, but I'm they're better than South Carolina, we think. But if they lose this game, maybe not.
Give me NC State in the points.
Listen.
And definitely give me the under, by the way. 44. I think this is a rock fight game. Mm-hmm. I think Clemson wins this like 17-9 or yeah. Something like that.
And yeah.
This is NC State covers and we hit the under.
Yeah, because I mean NC State's defense has been pretty good this year in spite of its offense. And this is one of those games where Clemson's gonna have to move the ball a little bit, I feel like, to cover 10. I also feel like this line's a trap, though, right? Because coming off of Clemson's performance last weekend and how the offense has looked really over the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's like, man, Clemson laying more than a touchdown, why would we ever do that? And then I take a step back and I think about it a little bit more. And I think that NC State might have some issues in this game with some turnovers. MJ Morris has been turning the ball over a ton. And NC State's offense, like even when they haven't turned the ball over, they just haven't looked very good. And Clemson's defense has looked the part. Granted, like Miami moved the ball late in that game last weekend, obviously won the game in double overtime with a backup quarterback. That's not a great look for the Clemson defense, but I thought the Clemson defense played pretty well for the entirety of the game. Clemson's offense just could not stay on the field. I think it was kind of a fatigue thing late there in that game. I am on Clemson here. I actually disagree with you because I just think that NC State is really, really going to have a hard time moving the ball here. And
they will.
Clemson, what?
They will. I agree with you.
Yeah, they will. I just think that even if Clemson, like we're talking rock fight, which I'm with you. I'm on the under here. I'm going to take the under 44. Even if Clemson has trouble moving the ball here, they can cover 10. Like, would 20 to 10 surprise you? Would 20 to 7 surprise you?
No.
23-7? Or like 19 to 7?
No.
I think that's all in play. Give me Clemson here covering the 10. And this is more about NC State's offense than Clemson just like figuring things out. I don't think Clemson's, it would kind of surprise me if Clemson just laid it on them here with the way they've looked recently. I don't think it's like a get right game or anything like that, but I do think Clemson will cover here. I'm concerned about MJ Morris. Quite honestly, I'm concerned about him and his ability to take care of the football. And of course, that's why I said last weekend with Van Dyke and they didn't play. But Morris is going to play here. So
Wolfpack coming off a bye, playing at home, Carter Finley. I could see Clemson kind of puckering up a little bit, like, don't mess this up. By the way, Clemson's turnover margin on the year is -1.
Yeah.
And part of that is that in most of these games, they're not really creating turnovers as much as they are, you know, willing to give it up. And if it really, there's just one game here, the Florida Atlantic game, they were +3. They gained 4 turnovers. They turned it over once. If you throw that game out, they're -4 and they've only gained 8 turnovers in the other, what, 7 games or 6 games that they played.
Yeah.
Like, so that's some of what I'm concerned about is that, you know, I think this NC State defense has shown us that regardless of whether their offense is moving the ball or not, they're going to show up and going to keep playing and keep working. And I think they're going to make Clemson work for it all day long, even if their offense isn't able to move the ball and sustain drives at all. So it's, I would honestly be surprised. I mean, Clemson's had a turnover they've lost in every single game so far. Mm-hmm. And in 4 out of 7, they've lost multiple.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something like that can easily set up NC State with a short field and, you know, set them up for a field goal or something.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, Clemson's red zone offense lately has been kind of ass.
Booty cheeks.
So that's another thing too. So like NC State, yeah, booty cheeks. NC State sets up Clemson with a short field. There's no guarantee Clemson's going to capitalize.
Yeah.
So
definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, Carter Finley's a tough place to play. Is it a tough place to play at 2 o'clock on Saturday on the CW?
Yeah.
Yeah. We think. Yeah.
I mean, maybe not as bad as like 6 o'clock on the CW when, you know.
Is there a correlation between if there's a LIV golf tournament on, look, and whether or not Carter Finley's a tough place to play?
You just got to know, like, it is tougher to play these games on the CW when you are up against Home Improvement coming on. And you might not get the post-game interview in play. Like,
by the way, thank you for reminding me of bad television, because during the NLCS last night, Game 7, there was an ad that ran for UNC UVA on the CW, which of course happened last Saturday. So yeah. Go ACC to that.
The replay, I guess, or, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. They were publicizing that like it was live and yet to be played. So that's something.
Mm-hmm. Hari balls. NC State wins outright. They shut Clemson down. And by the way, our guy Adam let me know that there is actually a new show coming up on the CW this fall. And I'm glad that he did his research and came up with it. It's called Ref Boy Island.
Oh, okay. That's good. The sequel. The sequel to F Boy Island.
Yeah, it's a very specific niche that they're targeting with that show. But yeah, in any case. That's
oddly specific.
Well done to Adam with the Ref Boy Island. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. Let's see. I think we're caught up here, Mike. So I've got NC State. You've got Clemson here. I think we both think Clemson wins. It's just a matter of what's the margin.
Yeah.
And we're both on the under. We feel pretty good about the under there.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on, Mike, as we get into the afternoon slate and the evening slate. These previews brought to you by Section103.com, the internet's premier place for all things wonderful, wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. They have t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, something for men, women, children, something for the whole family. They have jerseys supporting quarterbacks Haynes King and Zach Pyron, one for running back Dante Smith. They've got the coach hoodie. That hoodie is so nice as the weather gets a little bit cooler here. You can keep repping Georgia Tech and stay warm and stay super comfortable. Highly, highly recommended. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. I love mine. You will love yours. I was wearing mine earlier, but once again, my one-year-old at mealtime decided it was a really good time to test and see exactly how soft and how comfortable these shirts were. And it was confirmed, but, you know, it came with a side of like barbecue sauce or whatever it was. So not wearing it at the moment. But once again, use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com for all sorts of wonderful, fantastic Georgia Tech apparel. All the official word marks, the official Tech Gold, all that good stuff. Go find it all there. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Appreciate their partnership.
Yep.
Mike, at 3:30, we'll start on NBC when the Pitt Panthers are on the road in South Bend, taking on the number 14 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The Irish, a 20.5 point favorite. Total is 44.5. Gosh, I hate this number. Like,
yeah, me too.
What do we do here? I don't know.
So this is going to really just depend on if Pittsburgh scores at all. Yeah. I've decided. Because Pittsburgh is 45th in the country in rushing defense. They have a pretty good rush defense. And Notre Dame, really, all they can do is run it. Like, they have not had a consistent passing game. Sam Hartman has been good this year, but they just haven't had the weapons on the outside for him.
Mm-hmm.
They have been a little banged up at tight end. I think they're going to be healthier coming out of the bye. So I do think that there's potential here for the Notre Dame passing game to maybe get right, having some of their weapons back. And Hartman's been good. I think Pitt's going to be competitive against the Notre Dame rushing attack. So I think with that in mind, this game is really going to hinge on whether or not Pittsburgh scores at all. I'm not too confident they're going to. That's why I'm just going to pick Notre Dame to cover. It's a gigantic number, but I'm going to take the Irish. It's a lot of points. I'm going to take the Irish to cover here, though. I just don't think Pittsburgh offensively has the juice. Another one of those games where I just have concerns about Pittsburgh over the course of four quarters, finding a way to punch it in the end zone enough times to cover this number. Would be very, very surprised if this game was competitive. I think Notre Dame could crockpot this thing to death. It could be nice little slow burn. And then before you know it, it's like 31-13 or something. And we are going under the total. Mm-hmm. And Notre Dame's covering the spread. And Notre Dame really looked like the dominant team throughout, but didn't really Maserati their way to a easy win. I could definitely see it playing out that way. So give me the Irish -20.5. And I'm just going to take the under because I don't think Pitt's going to score a lot. And I don't think Notre Dame's going to score enough. So that's where I'm at here.
Is there any sort of look ahead factor here with Notre Dame heading to Death Valley to play Clemson next weekend?
Clemson is like the fourth or fifth best team on Notre Dame's schedule.
Yeah.
Outside of name brand recognition, no. I think that game is going to be competitive. Like, we'll talk about it. I think it'll be competitive because it's another situation where Clemson, I think, is going to be competitive against Notre Dame's rushing attack. But I don't think Clemson's scoring on Notre Dame. So,
yeah,
that's kind of where we're at again. Yeah.
This feels like this is the spot, I feel like, where Pittsburgh all just like tends to randomly show up where I'm like, oh, they're going to get boat raced by Notre Dame. And then you look up and it's like 3 minutes left in the first quarter and Pitt's up like 10-0 or something like that. And you're like, hold on, what is happening? You know, what is going on in South Bend?
Yeah.
So it's, I am nervous trusting Notre Dame with a number this large.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the thing that would make the difference for me is in recent years, if this Pitt defense were what it has been in recent years, I would be on the Panthers here.
Yeah.
But it is not. It is something less than it has been. It is, they don't get after the quarterback nearly as well. They don't cause nearly as much havoc in the passing game. They don't stonewall the run in the way that we have seen in recent years. So at that point, like, do I think Notre Dame can get a little bit of traction on offense? And do I think that Pitt's going to be able to move the ball at all on Notre Dame's defense? Probably not. So I think I'm laying them with Notre Dame. I think I'm with you.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of points. I don't feel great about it with no. You know, my own personal money or anything like that.
No.
I think under here.
Yeah.
Total 44.5. That is not a high number, but again, I think Notre Dame can keep Pitt off the board for the most. I think they can. Of course, until about 3 minutes left in the first quarter when, yeah, Pitt's up 10-0 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some big numbers this week.
Mm-hmm. Are you making a play on the total or just leaving it alone?
I'll go under 44.5.
Okay. Notre Dame in the under for the both of us?
Notre Dame in the under.
That works. Anything else here? You ready to move on?
Ready to move on.
Let's move over to ESPN at 3:30.
Efficient, Joey. We're being efficient tonight.
Right.
We have golf tomorrow morning. We're being efficient.
We both have golf, so we got to go play tomorrow morning.
I got an hour and 15-minute drive tomorrow morning, too. So we're moving, baby. We're moving.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a drive, too. So, yeah. You know. In any case, number 20, Duke. On the road in Louisville, taking on the number 18 Cardinals. Louisville, a 4-point home favorite. Total is 46.5. Once again, this game on ESPN. Mike, Louisville coming off a bye game. I don't know. Or a bye week. Sorry, bye game.
A bye game. They just played like Murray State.
Yeah. A bye week. Do you think there's a body blow effect for Duke here?
Yeah.
Off that Florida State game?
Yeah, we're laying them with Louisville here. Lock it up.
Yeah, I think so. Hold on. I'm no producer Scott, so this is going to take us.
Is this a double? Is this a double barrel situation? Are you going to just join me, or I'm not trying to peer pressure?
Yeah, I'm locking up UConn.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Whoops. Not that one.
Where did it go? Where is it, Scott?
Are we going to have a lock war?
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. Just get nervous. I get nervous like locking up a team playing against Duke.
Yeah.
A competent, good Duke team. And I don't, even on the road, even in a body blow situation, Louisville coming off a bye week, like all of it sets up really well, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little too well.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-point spread. Like, what am I missing here? Is Riley Leonard playing? Do they need Riley Leonard?
Yeah, Harry's balls asked a really important question. Is that how we pronounce it?
I was Riley, going Hari, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I went plural with or possessive, I guess, is what I did. Interesting. Is Riley Leonard playing? And I'll tell you what. I don't think it matters, and here's why. A big part of Riley Leonard's game is using his legs. You and I watched that Florida State game last weekend, Joey. Leonard's a shell of himself. He rushed back a little bit from that high ankle sprain. At least it looked that way. And he may have re-aggravated it or something. I mean, he didn't return to the game, right? I mean, he gets hurt in the second half and third quarter, leaves the game, doesn't return. I don't know if he made it any worse. If he did,
trying to plead his case to come back into the game.
Right. So, like, I don't know if he made it any worse. I think they'll roll him out there again, maybe. If they don't, that wouldn't surprise me either. But a big part of Leonard's game is using his legs, and I just don't think he's going to be able to do that. That ankle is clearly not 100%.
Yeah.
But, like, the next best thing is Henry Bolin, and he can't throw. So
they won't let him throw.
That says more about a trust thing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as he came into the game, they basically packed up shop and said, we're not even going to try to throw anymore. That tells you everything you need to know. Man, I don't see it with Duke because Louisville's defense has been really feisty, competitive. I just don't think that I don't think that Duke's going to be able to move the ball on the Louisville defense, right? The passing game did not look particularly good last week either. Mm-hmm. Against Florida State, right, when Riley Leonard was in the game. So if Leonard doesn't play, they're definitely not throwing it well. Even with Leonard in the game, I'm not sure how well they're going to throw it here. And a big part of what makes Duke's offense tick is the running ability of their quarterback. And yep. If you don't have that, you kind of run into a situation Virginia Tech was in with Grant Wells in week two against Purdue. You know, you don't have to respect the run, or I guess respect the pass, or really respect their running game, right?
The offense is a lot simpler to defend if the quarterback isn't mobile.
You're going to drop 8 and you're going to rush 3, or you'll drop 7 and rush 4, and you're not really worried about getting burned in the running game with the quarterback, and you're not really concerned about him beating him through the air because you just dropped a million guys in coverage. This is going to make it tough, I think, for Duke to move the ball. So, I don't know. Jawar Jordan may not play. Jack Plummer is not the man. I agree on Jack Plummer. He is a Jag. We've established that.
Jag Plummer.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
That's the one piece of this, and I think that's an insightful point by Hari Balls, is what the like.
That's what I always say.
Thinking about Jag Plummer going up against this Duke defense and especially this Duke defensive coaching staff, I like Jeff Brohm as an offensive coach, as a quarterback's coach. His brother Brian, you know, does a great job for them on that staff as well. But can Mike Elko and that Duke defensive staff make him see ghosts? That's the other thing that I am nervous about, is like create a couple of turnovers that way, short fields, keep it close, or even win the game.
Yeah.
I have to think it's on the table, but like I also agree with what you're saying is like Riley Leonard is not special because of his arm alone.
Right.
Riley Leonard is special, you know, partially because of his arm, but also partially because of his mobility. You know, he's I don't know what the comparison is. Maybe it's like a Desmond Ridder or someone like that is, you know, someone who's a reasonably good passer, mm-hmm. but also pretty reasonably mobile and can, you know, can get you in the run game. So it's like if right now we're seeing that he's not as mobile, then what? You know, he just has to stand back there in the pocket, and he only had one rushing attempt against Florida State last week. Like, if he's not healthy enough to be a weapon in the run game, then it's like, I don't know. So I'm going to take Louisville. I might come back and lock it up. I'm being like really, really wishy-washy and non-committal in my locks this year.
Yeah, but you have been. You have been.
There's just a lot of these that just, I don't know. It's like a lot of questions in my mind, and I'm really just learning not to trust anyone in this league basically at this point.
I mean, one thing I want to point out is that if Jack Plummer plays like a Jack and Jawar Jordan doesn't play and Isaac Guerrero is getting a bulk of the carries in the backfield, I think he's also a Jag. I think we're going to have a Jag off in the backfield pointed out by Harry Balls. So Harry Balls pointing out the Jag off would be a very interesting and very interesting development in our live show history. So I just want to point that out.
This is what happens when Scott's not here. Everything just goes completely off the rails. And
that was a layup. I, you know, you give me the mural, you give me like the easel, right? And you give me some paint and Da Vinci.
Magic happens.
The magic. This is where the magic happens.
Total's 46.5. Pass.
No thanks. Pass. Hard pass.
Pass. All right, Louisville for the both of us. Mike has it locked up. I might come back and do something about that later.
Okay.
Let's keep moving here. I don't know if you saw that from our friend there. I'm just going to leave that alone. also 3:30. This is on the ACC Network. The Virginia Cavaliers on the road in South Beach, Coral Gables, wherever that is. Take it on the Miami Hurricanes. Miami's a 19-point home favorite. Total is 46.5. what's the implied score here? I need to work on that here in a second.
That's I've been doing math all day. I don't know if I can take that a step further for you.
Yeah, I don't have anything there. Mike, I saw you threatening Cam with a good time on Twitter earlier. Are we rolling with the Hoos outright here?
God, no. Miami, we're locking this up too.
Oh, hello. And it sounds like this.
Lock it up. You better lock it up.
There you go.
You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. It's interesting because I said, you know, there are a bunch of big spreads and usually I'll land with big spreads. And it's interesting that the one spread I picked that is a gigantic, nearly a 3-score spread, the team I'm betting on to cover it is Miami. Look, there's one way to look at this, right? You could say that, you know, it's a letdown spot for the Hurricanes after a huge win last weekend. You know, that would be one way to look at it, right? Certainly. You could look at the fact that Virginia is coming off of a gigantic win against North Carolina, and can you catch lightning in a bottle twice? No. Like,
talk about a letdown game.
Yeah, talk about a letdown game. You know, Miami still has a couple weeks here before they play Florida State. So it's not like they're playing Florida State next week. That would make me a lot less confident in this pick. But the bottom line for me is Miami has played some pretty good football this year, right? The Georgia Tech game was what it was. They showed a lot of resiliency with the backup quarterback last week to, you know, kind of make that fourth quarter come back and then play as well as they did in overtime. I think that they ran into a buzzsaw offense in North Carolina, ironically, 2 weeks ago with the team that UVA just beat. And I don't think you look at this and it's really an indictment on Miami to lose to North Carolina, right? And I still think North Carolina is a good team. I think they just didn't take Virginia seriously last weekend. I think it's easy for Miami, right? Because they're coming off of the Clemson win, but then they're looking at UVA and like, okay, maybe ordinarily we wouldn't take this game seriously, but they just showed that if you just roll the helmets out, you know, they could be pesky enough if they don't make too many mistakes where they could give you a whole lot of trouble. I think Miami's defense is going to be as competitive or it will be more competitive than North Carolina was against Virginia's offense last week. Miami, I think, boasts a better defense than North Carolina, a more consistent one anyway. I like Miami's defense here. And quite honestly, I like Miami's offense. They've been playing pretty well all year, whether it's Tyler Van Dyke or not. I think it is going to be Van Dyke.
It's Van Dyke's playing in this game.
Yeah. So
he went from totally unavailable last week to, quote, good to go this week.
Yeah. Cristobal said it was fine. He's fine. So seemed like just a 1 week thing. I like Miami here. I think it's a good spot for them defensively against Virginia. I don't think Virginia's offense will play as well as it did a week ago. I think that was its best performance all year, and I don't think it's repeatable because they just haven't been doing it. So, yeah, give me Miami big here.
Adam says 33-14, the implied score. And when you put it that way, I mean, yeah, it kind of makes sense, honestly. Yeah. Like 35-14, something like that is a reasonable finish here. I'll lay in with Miami. Yeah.
This thing's all laying better.
It's fine.
Yeah, this is bad. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to lay in with Miami.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, maybe last week was just kind of a blip and a flash in the pan for Virginia. It's not like a sustainable, repeatable thing. I would like to think that coming off the Clemson win that Miami will come in motivated, like something to prove, keep building momentum, keep rolling. Along those lines, I mean, who knows? It's Miami. They could also come in and roll their helmets out there at any given week. And, you know, that can also happen as well. So I don't feel the best about it. I don't love, you know, giving this many points. But, yeah, let's lay them with Miami. And I think they win this game pretty big. 46.5. Kind of leaning over. I'm not going to make that an official pick, but over, if anything, I think.
Yeah. I'm leaning over too, but I'm not definitely not confident enough to bet it.
Yep. All right. Miami for the both of us. No pick on the total. You've got Miami locked up to cover 19. Final game of the evening, Mike. 8:00 on the ACC network. The number 17 North Carolina Tar Heels on the road in Atlanta. Taking on my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. North Carolina, an 11.5 point road favorite here. Total is 63.5. Biggest total on the board this weekend, and it's not close, I don't think. Mike, I mentioned before we came on and started recording that I had a couple stats here for you regarding this game. I'm going to assume that I'm getting them all right here. But, Mike, Georgia Tech has played 6 FBS games this year. Underdogs are 5-1 against the spread in those games and have won 4 in a row. Does that color how you feel about this game at all? We're taking points with Georgia Tech when they're an underdog. We're laying them with, or we're taking points with whoever they play. If Georgia Tech, just take the underdog in Georgia Tech games.
This is tough because we just had an entire conversation where we thought that Virginia and Miami, you know, that whole thing. We thought that Virginia's win over Carolina was a blip on the radar. And I come to this game and I'm like, yeah, I think Carolina's loss to Virginia was a blip on the radar. And then weird stuff just seems to happen in Atlanta when Carolina goes to play there.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a house of horrors situation for the Tar Heels.
Carolina's so much better.
10 out of 12 in Atlanta, I think.
Carolina is so much better, but I can't argue with science.
Just science.
And Georgia Tech's tech school, so you know.
Yeah, Drew.
I mean, you know, can't argue with that. Yeah, I don't really have football reasons to pick Georgia Tech here. I simply don't. Defense sucks. Haynes King is a turnover machine. Mm-hmm. I think Carolina's defense is not as bad as it showed last week. You know, I think in totality this year that the North Carolina defense really improved.
Yeah, that was their worst performance of the year, and it's not close.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that going to turn into a repeatable thing down the stretch where the defense all of a sudden just kind of falls back to earth? You know, maybe, but I'm not going to bet on it on a one game sample size, right? Just based off of the body of work this year. So it's a mediocre defense at worst for Carolina. I think they've been pretty good most of the year. Really bad week last week. Offensively, they've been really good. No football reasons to pick Georgia Tech here. None. I am picking Georgia Tech to cover 11.5. Absolutely. I can't lock it up because there are no football reasons to it. But yeah, give me Georgia Tech plus the 11.5 here.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, right? Like there's a pattern here. And it's, yeah. I mean, first of all, again, Tech has won, lost, alternating every week this year. I mean, it's a Jekyll and Hyde team that, you know, one team shows up one week and a different team shows up the other week. Like it's, and we saw the bad team show up last week. And now this week they've got a night game at home against a ranked opponent. And yeah, I mean, they lost by two scores to Boston College. Why wouldn't they beat North Carolina this weekend? Like that's exactly what this team is. So I'm not actually predicting a Georgia Tech win here, but I do think that they can cover 11.5. I think maybe it's like a 10-point game, something like that. I think they can keep it inside this number. The thing I'm really looking to see here is the defense in particular. I mean, I thought that they had a pretty good step forward against Miami there prior to the bye week after the Andrew Thacker demotion. I thought the performance in South Florida was very, very good. Thought coming back from the bye, the performance against Boston College was awful. Yeah. Like really pretty bad, especially in the fourth quarter, really in particular. They honestly weren't too bad through the first three quarters, but everything completely cratered in that final quarter. And so it's just a question to me of like, yeah, like can they repeat that performance from Miami and avoid the one that we had last week? And, you know, can they make adjustments? Can they? I don't know. Guess we'll see. Yeah, Haynes King's been a turnover machine. Like we said, seven interceptions, I think, in the last 3 weeks or the last three games he's played. That's not ideal. I think Eric Singleton Jr., at least, there were a couple of receivers that Georgia Tech was down last weekend for either injury or illness, basically, that hopefully you get one or more of those guys back this week. But we'll see. Mike, I don't know if you've noticed that I think our guy Adam has a new award for you to hand out.
Yeah, the, damn good.
Connor Stallion Steal of the Week. Good.
Yeah, very good. it's excellent. They're a candidate.
Yeah, think so.
They're a candidate.
Them and Virginia, too, by the way. Virginia could get the Steal of the Week against Miami, just, you know, in case Cam's still listening.
But yeah. For what it's worth, I mean, run like you stole something, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam mentions this either ends with a Georgia Tech win or Zach Pyron is your quarterback next week. I mean,
sounds good.
wouldn't kill me. You know, if we're going to continue turning the ball over 2 and 3 times every week with number five or, you know, number 10, then it wouldn't kill me to see number five for a couple drives.
Yeah. We're going to, this is going to be like a backdoor cover on my Haynes King take from the beginning of the year.
Yep. Yep.
It's going to take until November, but we're going to get there, maybe.
I don't know what happened on the flight back from Wake Forest, but Haynes King has not been the same quarterback the last three games that he was the first four games of this year.
No.
And that has caused some issues for, you know, really for all three of those games.
Yeah.
Even though one of them was a win. But, yeah, give me Georgia Tech in the points. I think they keep it close. I non-zero chance that they win the game. Like, yeah. I would not be stunned.
Nope.
Like, nope, Jeff Collins teams were like a mess and embarrassing, but I think twice they beat North Carolina, you know, like pretty decent North Carolina teams at that. They beat Drake May last year. They beat Sam Howell 1 year. Like it can be done.
Yeah. No. So nothing involving North Carolina in the Mac Brown era at this point will ever shock me.
Yeah. Yep.
Subsequently, nothing Georgia Tech does really shocks me now either. They win games they shouldn't. They lose games by multiple scores to really bad teams that makes Joey crazy and makes me confused, but not surprised. Confused, but not surprised.
Total 63.5. I would just leave that alone. Like this game could go 15 points under or over that total, and nothing would surprise me again.
I mean,
like,
certainly lean over, I think, just because Georgia Tech's defense has been bad all year. And Carolina's defense has shown that it can give up some points still. So, I mean, I think you lean over. I also just don't know if Georgia Tech's going to be willing to score a lot of points, right? Like, if Haynes King delivers another multiple turnover performance, then, you know, this game gets out of hand. Maybe you put Pyron in this game, right? Maybe.
Yep.
I don't know.
Possible.
I'd lean over, but I'm not betting it.
Yeah, I agree with that. If like gun to my head, if I had to pick something, probably go with the over.
Yeah.
Don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
All right, Georgia Tech for the both of us. No play on the total. Mike, that's all we've got for this week. There is no Bowling Green game, so that's that.
Good. It's probably for the best.
Yeah. Need a week off. Let Bowling Green cool off. They're on a heater right now. I don't know if you noticed that at all.
I mean, Scott Loeffler is going to land himself another contract extension. I think that's what's going to happen.
Death, taxes, Scott Loeffler failing upwards. It's not failing this year, but like the overall tenure has been pretty bad. I don't know how he still has a job, honestly.
He's not going to, you know, can't lose your job by making bowl games at Bowling Green.
Yeah, that's true. It's good job security. Mike, should I lock up Louisville minus -4 or Pitt Notre Dame under 44.5?
So gross. The total play would be, that is a disgusting pick if you do the total on Notre Dame Pitt.
Yeah.
That is a gross play. You should just do you have the sicko sound? I don't care. I'm a sicko. Yeah. We gotta get one of those for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If I just speak it into this microphone right here that I guess somebody can capture it at that point. I don't care. I'm a sicko.
Captured.
I guess we're locking up under 44.5 in Pitt Notre Dame just to, you know, ride with the spirit of this thing.
Disgusting.
You lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. So gross.
You know what? You want to be really sick? What would be really, really sick, Mike?
Oh, no.
Lock them up both. I don't know. Louisville minus -4. Sure. Why not?
Lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up.
Double
lock
barrel.
It lock it up.
Please. Double barrel.
Hell yeah. I'm a loose cannon, Mike. You don't know what I'm going to do next.
What else you got? What other locks you got? What other winners you got, Chad?
Yeah, I'm locking up UConn.
Oh, no, I'm not. I am certainly not.
Such a good sound effect.
It is really good. And like the listeners new to the show are going to be really confused.
They are. They're going to be so confused. Like, what, didn't they talk about that game in the first few minutes? Yeah, we did.
We did.
All right, Mike, I've got under 44.5 locked up in Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, and Louisville minus -4 against Duke. You have Louisville minus -4 against Duke, and you also have Miami minus -19.5 against Virginia. Anything else? I think that covers pretty much all of it for now.
Efficient. We did this in an hour.
That's right. We got tea times we got to make.
That's right.
All right, let's get out of here, Mike. We're going to go watch some games. We're going to come back and recap them. I think Saturday Night Fever is like a game time decision around here. There's a wedding in play, and we'll see. We might make it happen. We might not. I know last week we ended up having to push to Sunday. So keep it tuned here. If you want to know when we're going to record and go live to recap all the Week 9 action, go to youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon, and you will be notified as soon as we commit to what time we're coming on here, and if we ever change what time we're coming on here, you'll be notified then too.
Yep.
Mike, we're on Twitter at FTRS Joey, at Mike McDaniel SI, at BC Podcast ACC. You can send us an email with your questions, comments, concerns to the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. We're on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you go find your podcasts in audio format. Go find us there. We appreciate it. Where else can they find us on the social medias?
Facebook, facebook.com/basketballconference, rate, review, find all of our podcasts there. Instagram at BC Podcast ACC. YouTube, youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast. Subscribe, please.
Please do. Please do. We appreciate those who do. Mike, I think that's all I got. Anything else?
We are all set.
You want to come back and recap Week 9 at some point this weekend?
Yeah, let's do that. Enjoy the golf tomorrow, Joey.
Thank you. You too. Hit them straight.
We'll do my best.
I mean, I'm playing a scramble for a
nice.
It's a daycare fundraiser situation. So if I don't hit them straight, well, somebody else will, and I'll just play their ball. So
with the cost of daycare, they should be doing a fundraiser for all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole thing where like you graduate college and they ask you for more money. Like it's kind of the same thing, right?
Pretty
it's
cool. Like, pretty yeah. cool of them to do that. Yeah.
Gnarly.
I'm playing with Ryan and Danny.
Well, give them my best. Tell them I said,
will
hi.
Do. I will absolutely do that.
There you go. All right. Y'all enjoy the games. We will come back and recap them at some point this weekend, and we'll talk to you then.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, until next time, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks to everyone in the chat for coming out and hanging out with us on a Wednesday night. Really appreciate you guys as well. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. And until then, go ACC.